Welcome to the Hornets Hivecast, presented by Charlotte Eye, Ear, Nose, and Throat Associates, the official eye, ear, nose, and throat care provider of the Charlotte Hornets. Here's your host, Sam Farber.
Welcome to another edition of the Hornets Hivecast, your Hornets podcast with all the notes, quotes, and daily buzz around your favorite NBA team. I'm Sam Farber, and it is a pleasure and a privilege to have you with us here once again on the Hornets Hivecast, brought to you by Senta, Charlotte Eye, Ear, Nose, and Throat Associates, the official eye, ear, nose, and throat care provider of the Charlotte Hornets. Another strong effort from the Charlotte Hornets, but it's another silver linings edition of the HHC as the Hornets dropped a 118-104 final against the best team in basketball, the Boston Celtics, who improved to 59-16 on the season. I believe they're now one win away from finishing with, at minimum, the best record in the NBA. And anytime you're getting close to 60 wins in a season, which they almost certainly will surpass, you're having an outstanding year. Still, Hornets pushed them, made them play their A game, and the Celtics, they just answered the call. Boston wins 118-104. We'll break the game down, select our silver lining selections, talk about a couple of off-court things the Hornets are involved with that are really exciting that we want to highlight here on the HHC, and we'll talk about one more on-court thing we're very excited about. That's Brandon Miller continuing to make a run up the three-point shooting record books for NBA rookies. Helping me on all of these topics, he is my producer on the Hornets Radio Network, as well as the producer of this fine podcast, Rob Longo, here with me once again. Rob, a great game, another very entertaining one. This entire homestand, Charlotte has really brought it night after night. The win over Cleveland, obviously, that's a big highlight. But the efforts against Golden State, the Clippers, and now Boston, certainly a lot to be excited about here for Hornets fans.
Yeah, and I mean, this isn't just us sugarcoating it or anything like that. These have been really good efforts by the Hornets, especially when you consider, again, all of the injuries that they've had to endure and that still remain out there as well. I mean, heck, you go back to last night's game, no Nick Richards, so the Hornets didn't really have a true traditional center out there. Marquise Bolden did come off the bench and provided some minutes to, I guess, is that more traditional center, but you had Grant Williams playing small ball five out there. I mean, just right there in that sense, going up against one of the best teams and one of the best centers in the entire game right now, Kristaps Porzingis, you're thinking, oh man, this could get really ugly really quickly. But again, give credit where credit's due. The Hornets won the first quarter. They led it by two after 12 minutes. They were down six at halftime, and then things got a little crazy in that second half, especially in the third quarter, where Boston was able to outscore the Hornets by 10, and the Celtics shot 62% from the field in that third quarter. But again, keep in mind, too, Hornets were on a second night of a back-to-back. Boston is almost fully healthy. Jaylen Brown did not play for them, but they had everybody else and all of their key major pieces, and they also had a day of rest in there in between as well. So I know they were on a very long road trip, but again, the Hornets have done a great job, especially in these last two games against the Clippers and the Celtics. I mean, these are really, really, really good efforts.
That could be the finals matchup.
It could be. It very well could be. And the Hornets hung tough with both of them and made them both work really hard for it.
Hornets fall 118-104. Just to put this in a little bit of perspective, the Hornets beat Boston early in the season. That was back on November 20th. Starting lineup that night for Charlotte: Miles Bridges, Brandon Miller, they're still here with the team. Gordon Hayward obviously traded away. He had 20 points in that game, by the way. And then LaMelo Ball and Mark Williams started that game. Not just started, but had spectacular games. LaMelo, 36 points, 9 rebounds, 8 assists, and he knocked down 5 threes. Mark Williams went for 18 points and 16 boards and was a plus 33 in the plus minus that night. In my opinion, that was the best game of the year. That was the high watermark, as it turned out, for the Hornets. We thought it might have been a turning point as it was Miles Bridges' first start. Little did we know, two games later, LaMelo Ball would go down to injury and really never fully recover, to the extent that he didn't play in, you know, a 15-20 game stretch from that point on the remainder of the season. So that's the difference in terms of the lineups. That was the five that night. Hornets last night had Brandon Miller and Miles Bridges still in the starting group. Grant Williams, Trey Mann, Vasilij Micic, who are all strong players, but you don't have an all-star like LaMelo Ball, and there is no one over 6'9", so there's no Mark Williams in there in the middle. Different set of challenges for the Hornets, and yet they went toe-to-toe with the best team in the NBA, who was on their game. They take more threes than anyone else in the NBA. On an average night, Boston scores about 120 a game, a little bit more than that. Charlotte, quote-unquote, held them to 118, and Boston ended up making 19 threes, eventually pulling away. 25 points for Jason Tatum, 25 for Sam Hauser, leading them to the win. After the contest, Grant Williams, one of many Hornets who had strong performances. Miles Bridges leading the way with 26 points, but Grant Williams right behind him with 23. Obviously, he knows Boston well, having played for that organization for four seasons. Here's what he had to say about the way the game went down.
I thought we did a good job of staying calm and trying to play through it, but they did a good job of making shots. Sam played his tail off tonight, as he always does. You know, he shoots the piss out of it, as he's done since I've been in Boston. And then, you know, they have the other guys with JT, Chris Stops, and then Drew and D. White. All those guys played well. But we just had to do a better job of making sure we came back and got our defense set, because when our defense set, we're one of the best defenses in the league.
You know, it's interesting, Rob, because when you look at the box score, and when you're playing Boston, there's an assumption Jason Tatum is going to do Jason Tatum things, and there's all these shooters and scorers that are going to have good nights. Tatum had, by his standard, an average night, 25 points, 10 rebounds. He made four threes. Kristaps Porzingis, by his standard, had an average night, 20 points. The reason Boston surged ahead, you got to look kind of at their bench. Sam Hauser, it's not a total outlier. It's not like 25 points is a career high or seven threes is a total that Hauser never gets before. It's rare, but it's not a never. But when you compare it directly with what he did previously against Charlotte, because that was the, you know, the other data point here. Hornets obviously had more players available, but I thought last night played very well. The guys who were stepping in for players like LaMelo Ball and Mark Williams and PJ Washington from that one, Gordon Hayward from that one, all did their jobs and did pretty well. The starting five, I thought, had a really strong game for Charlotte, good enough to win. The difference was Sam Hauser had 25 points and was 7 of 11 from 3. Compare that to the first game against Boston. Hauser was 1 for 9 from 3. So right there, if Hauser has an off night, which he had in November, Celtics aren't winning the game last night. Charlotte probably comes out. Or maybe it's at least closer. He put more pressure on other guys. Maybe someone else has a big night. But
like when Tatum had 41 last time?
Well, yeah. But I mean, that's the stark difference to me, is you have a role player, because Tatum, you're right, had a career, a season high in the previous head-to-head meeting against Charlotte. He had a average night by his standard, and his standard is being in contention for the MVPs, but still, you know, not an unbelievable game for Jason Tatum. By Hauser's standard, it was a very, very good game, which he didn't have in the first matchup, which was a Hornets win.
And if you go back, I mean, obviously, first off, if you have a guy that comes off the bench and hits seven threes and scores you 25 points, you just kind of tip your cap and you move on, because that's going to be really hard to beat. I mean, if you think about it, or at least the comparison that I have in the back of my head, is you go back to a couple seasons ago when the Hornets were above 500 and they were playing well and everybody was healthy. You had instances where Kelly Oubre was coming off the bench and hitting seven threes and giving you 25 points per night on some of those nights. So that's where I kind of feel like that's the stark contrast and difference maker for some of these elite teams, is not everybody has a guy like Sam Hauser that can come off the bench and give you seven threes on a night-by-night basis and really pick up the slack. Because, again, Jrue Holiday did not have a good game last night. He had 2 points. He was 1 of 11 from the field shooting. He was 0 for 8 from 3. So, again, somebody else was able to pick up the slack, but that's what good teams do. That is the quality of good teams. One, they're healthy. Two, they have superstars on their team like Jason Tatum and maybe Kristaps Porzingis you can put out there as well. And then you have some other role players in there, like a Jrue Holiday, like a Derek White who plays really good defense, like a good veteran like Al Horford as well, and now you throw in a guy off the bench that can give you 25. That's the makings of a really, really good team. So it kind of stinks that the Hornets got to see that firsthand, but also, again, you're probably going to see Boston playing well through April into May as well here into the NBA playoffs. So you know, as much as you would like a win in the game last night, there's no shame in losing by, what, 14 to a Boston team that you really had to work for. So it's going to be interesting to see how far the Celtics go this season, but the Hornets were right there with them. And again, in a couple of days, they got another crack at them too in Boston as well. And I know it's a very stark contrast compared to playing at Spectrum Center and playing at Boston for the home record that the Celtics have this season, but hey, they play them for a reason. Anything can happen.
And Boston at that point will be getting ready for the postseason.
Yeah, they can be sitting people too.
Night two of a back-to-back. It'll be interesting to see how that one shapes up. But last night, Hornets played very well. As Rob said, no shame falling to the team with the best record in the NBA. Now 59-16, the Boston Celtics. Hornets fall 118-104. Plenty of players to select silver linings from. We will do that next here on the Hornets Hivecast. Sam Farber, Rob Longo here with you on the HHC, the Hornets Hivecast, brought to you by Senta. A couple of off-court things that we wanted to bring up here in this podcast. We'll mention one later, the Innovation Summit. We crowned a champion earlier this week. We'll let you hear from the winner a little bit later on here on the HHC. Also, Hornets Sports and Entertainment and Bank of America announcing an event that's going to actually take place today. Depending on when you're listening to this podcast, it may have already happened. But nonetheless, Bridging the Opportunity Divide. In order to showcase National Nonprofit Year Up, which provides provide skills-based training and a pathway to meaningful employment for young adults without four-year college degrees and the impact it has made within the Charlotte community. The organizations will host a panel discussion, fireside chat, and a reception at Spectrum Center for more than 200 prospective corporate partners, as well as current and prospective year-up interns at Bank of America. We're excited to partner with them once again and continue to see that great work done by Hornet Sports and Entertainment and all of the folks hard at work on that initiative, as well as many others. Again, we'll have another one that we're highlighting a little later on here on the HHC, the Innovation Summit, also partnering with Bank of America on that one. But I have some more to talk about from last night's game against Boston, 118-104, the final score. Lots of silver linings to select from. Obviously, the stars shine pretty bright for Boston. 25 points for Jason Tatum, his 11th straight game with 20 or more points, 15th straight game with multiple made threes. Hauser, we mentioned, 25 points off the bench with 7 triples and 20 points from Kristaps Porzingis. But the Hornets were right there with a lot of those individual efforts as well. Rob Longo, who do you like for silver linings?
There's a lot to pick from, a lot to love in this one, but I'm going to go with the guy that had a game-high 26 points, second consecutive night that he was a leading scorer. That's Miles Bridges.
Tatum will rise for three. Short, long rebound, poked. Who's going to get there? Miles Bridges. He'll soar and score! Punches it down for a Dr. Pepper dunk, and it's now a 7-point game. Timeout, Boston.
So you go back to the game against the Clippers. He had 33 points in that one, was 11 of 20, 7 of 14 from the field. Last night, Miles Bridges, 26 points, 10 of 23 from the field, 3 for 9 beyond the arc. 3-point shot took a little bit of a hit, but hey, we all can't be perfect every single night. Also 11 rebounds and 8 assists as well. I mean, he did everything, and he played 43 minutes again. He played 43 minutes the night before as well, which is, I guess, his average now. So Miles Bridges has just continued to be the workhorse for this team, the straw that stirs the drink for this team, as much as Brandon Miller has been great this season and excellent and has been one of the guys that has been leaned on a lot. Miles Bridges has been right there with them every step of the way, because it feels like if Miles does not have 20 or more, then the Hornets, quite frankly, don't have a shot anymore based off of the way that the injuries and the absences have occurred for this team. But Miles Bridges continues to be a shining beacon of light for this team, and he just seems like he's getting better and better as the season goes on, which is crazy to think because of all the minutes that he's played, and he's been very durable doing it. So Miles Bridges, a little bit of a accumulation silver lining over the last 48 hours or so, but nonetheless, he's still my silver lining pick from last night's game.
Couple of notes to piggyback there on the selection of Miles Bridges. You mentioned the 43 minutes. He continues to stretch his lead over DeMar DeRozan, who's number 2 now in minutes per game. DeRozan only played 39 last night in a contest against Atlanta. So Miles Bridges stretches his advantage there. Couple others. He had a double-double. Miles did in the loss for the Hornets, 26 points and 11 rebounds. Both those numbers, by the way, were game highs. It's Bridges' 50th 5-0 career double-double, so congrats on hitting that milestone. And he passed David Wesley for 9th in Hornets franchise history in career scoring. He's now up to 5,260 career points. Miles is, so he passes Wesley, who played for Charlotte from 1997 to 2002. Congrats all around to Miles Bridges. Plenty of cap tips in this one. One to Marquise Bolden, the third-year guy out of Duke. Been playing with Greensboro. He's been on a two-way contract and gotten some minutes very seldom for Charlotte, but with the injury to Nick Richards as well as the long-standing one to Mark Williams, the Hornets needed another center, and Bolden was there to answer the call. He had a career highs with 4 points, 5 rebounds, 2 made field goals. He had some quality minutes against a very, very talented Boston team. So cap tip to Marquise Bolden. Another one to Brandon Miller. Strong game again, 19 points, 3 made threes. There was a while there in the first half he was going shot for shot with Jason Tatum, just like he did the night before against Paul George. So that was a lot of fun to witness. Brandon Miller also moving up the all-time leaderboard for threes made in a rookie season. We'll have more on that later on here in the podcast. Also, Vasa Micic, 4 straight game with 10 or more points. But my silver lining selection is going to go to the former Boston Celtic, Grant Williams.
Grant Williams, straightaway three, got it. Knocks it down. Grant Williams drilling another Lowe's 3-point shot. 19 for the Mayor.
The Mayor, Grant Williams, pride of Providence Day.
And now go, Chargers, go.
Didn't see that one coming. Very nice, Rob.
I didn't tell Sam I was going to do that. I had to cut his mic off and do it.
I like it. I like it a lot. The mayor, go Chargers, go. Grant Williams, 23 points, had 10 made field goals, and I will gush about him more in a little bit, but here's what Hornets head coach Steve Clifford had to say about Grant Williams stepping in at the center position.
With him at the five, you know, our defense, we're playing these teams right now, and, you know, our defense went down a lot after Cody and Seth got hurt, right? When they were there, I think we were like fourth in defense after the trade, but he was a huge part of it, playing at the five, even though he's undersized, because of his physicality, his talk, his intelligence.
Defensively, he had a really strong game out there. He was the only player to be featured in any kind of, you know, normal minutes. There were a couple of guys who came in at the very tail end of the game who were a positive in the plus minus, but Grant Williams was the only one who was at least an even in the plus minus that played prior to the final minute and a half of the contest. And he had 10 made field goals. That is a career high, matching a previous effort that he had as a member of the Boston Celtics in the playoffs, a 10 field goal performance he had May 15th, 2022 against the Milwaukee Bucks. So slightly different stage this time around, but still getting to go up against his former teammates, and he had his A game. Here's what Grant had to say after the contest about playing against his former teammates, the Boston Celtics.
Yeah, that's always going to be my brother, man. He's family. Even all those guys on that team, we had tremendous years together, you know, whether it's Sam going to his wedding last summer, whether it's Peyton, he's getting married here soon. JT, JB, Luke Kornet, honestly one of the best guys in the league, one of the best teammates I've ever had. Al being one of my vet, you know, I can talk great about those guys through the rest of my career. And then as I tell stories when I'm done, I'll be doing the same. But it's definitely nostalgic, you know, seeing those guys. But it's also fun competing against them because, you know, when you're on the team, you don't realize how good they are. But then when you go against them, you understand what it was like to get to that level, to be able to win at that rate every single night and to get guys best, because we had a decent game. You know, it's not like we played terribly on the offensive end, but we got to do a better job of honing in on the defensive side of the basketball too, and it shows that we have a ways to go. But I'm excited for this team and when we get all our guys and a full deck to play against them next year.
I love how Grant kind of rounded that out coming back to the Hornets and his new team, but you can feel the love that he has for those guys he played with and had so much success with Boston. Three Eastern Conference Finals or better runs as a member of the Celtics in his 4 years there coming out of Tennessee. He had a remarkable, remarkable run, and there's a lot of love going back the other direction for Grant Williams and respect for what he accomplished. Believe it or not, Rob, he has not been back to Boston since signing with Dallas. He did not go to TD Garden as a member of the Mavericks, and the Hornets have yet to go there either. That reunion will happen in 10 days' time, and I have no doubt there will be a lot of love shared for Grant Williams and all that he and the Celtics accomplished together.
Yeah, and the one thing, too, that really sticks out from Grant's game last night, too, is keep in mind, too, Grant picked up his second foul at the 7:41 mark of the first quarter. He had to go to the bench and sit a decent amount there in that first half. So a lot of his damage came in the second half as well when he was free of foul trouble there. And I thought he was doing a good job there of recovering because, again, sometimes when guys go to the bench early and get in foul trouble, their rhythm gets a little thrown off. They're kind of out of the flow of the game. And that's another cap tip to Marquise Bolden, like you talked about, too, where I'm sure that wasn't what the rotation plan was like, or at least planned coming into this game, and or at least going to him that early, but they had to out of necessity, and I thought everybody recovered and played well because, again, Hornets were in this one for the first half of the game, and again, just that third quarter, they got blown out a little bit, but Grant Williams did a great job recovering, and so did the rest of the team as well. So Grant Williams, phenomenal game. I'm sure, of course, there was a little bit of added motivation against his former team, but it will be interesting to see what happens next week as well when the Hornets take on the Dallas Mavericks, too.
That will be another interesting one. The reunion tour continues for Grant Williams. My silver lining selection from last night, great game all around, an entertaining one. Hornets will have another one coming up tomorrow against the Portland Trailblazers. They'll try and keep this run of strong play going and maybe get another one in the win column along the way. Coming up next, we've got one more segment. We're going to talk a little bit more about Brandon Miller. Prefaced it before, he continues to climb in the NBA record book, so we'll talk about that. Also want to talk about another special off-court activity, the fourth annual Hornets Innovation Summit presented by Bank of America wrapped up over the last weekend, and we will introduce you to the winner after this quick break here on the Hornets Hivecast. Earlier this week, the 4th Annual Hornets Innovation Summit presented by Bank of America wrapped up with local entrepreneur Whitney Stevenson of Mahogany Brown Bridal winning the competition. Whitney's live pitch was the winner, selected from four finalists and over 100 applicants. Prize was supposed to be $15,000, but the Hornet Sports and Entertainment Ownership Group matched that initial prize to increase the total pool to $30,000, awarding $10,000 to the second place winner, Camille Hughes, for her creative space, The Frame, and upping Stevenson's award to $20,000. And Whitney Stevenson, kind enough to join us here in studio. Whitney, congratulations.
Thank you.
tell us a little bit about your business, the backstory here of Mahogany Brown Bridal.
Oh my gosh. I started Mahogany Brown Bridal in June of 2022. It came about because I'm a designer, and I actually made a bridal gown for a shop back at home in Ohio. And when I finished it, they didn't call me back. So I said to myself, well, how can I, you know, get this gown out there? And I said, if it's happened to me, it's happened to other designers. So I came up with, you know what, let's make Mahogany Brown Bridal and let's open it up to other designers like myself.
What were you hoping to gain when you initially applied to the Innovation Summit? What were your hopes to come from it?
Well, my hopes were actually to win, like any business owner is to win and actually get the exposure of, you know, brides that are out there that are looking for something different that they don't normally see at a regular bridal shop. You know, they can find it at Mahogany Brown Bridal.
The goals of the Innovation Summit, it's not just to give money to a deserving business like yours, but also bring some attention and bring some of the spotlight that comes with Hornet Sports and Entertainment to some of those applicants. Now that you've won it, what do you think the investment and the attention is going to do for your business?
I think it will shed light on not only my business, but actual designers, the minority designers that I work with, you know, the bringing attention to them as well. So people know, hey, we have these different options out here.
It's such a fun project to be involved with and to watch all the great pitches. You had some really stiff competition, but you're a very, very deserving winner. Do you have any thoughts or messages for those involved with the competition or who maybe in future years could be about what it's like going through the Innovation Summit?
If you're thinking about applying, apply. Make sure that you do your research and, you know your business when you go up there to pitch and be confident.
Whitney Stevenson, winner of the 4th Annual Hornets Innovation Summit. Her business, Mahogany Brown Bridal, located in historic downtown Concord. Thanks so much for joining us here in studio and congratulations.
Thank you for having me.
Congrats again to Whitney Stevenson, very deserving winner. And you can see the pitches as well as the whole process of the Innovation Summit via Hornets.com and through the Hornets Give social media site as well as Hornets social media platforms as well. One more thing to talk about here on this episode of the HHC as we bring Ron Blanco back for this one, and that is Brandon Miller. It seems like every night he plays, we're looking at the record books and seeing what he has rewritten now. Brandon Miller is continuing to climb the all-time NBA leaderboard for most made threes in a rookie season. He is now elevated into a tie for seventh. He has 167 made threes after sinking three last night against Boston. That brings him ahead of the greatest shooter of all time, Stephen Curry. Now, his rookie year came in a different era. You weren't supposed to take 400, 500 some threes in a season until Steph Curry started doing it. Steph, just for context here, in his rookie campaign, attempted 383s. Brandon Miller has now tried 448. The all-time leader for threes in a rookie season is Keegan Murray. He attempted 501 in his rookie season. And oh, by the way, Keegan was, you know, kind of a specialist on that team. Still, relatively speaking, is. He only attempts 10 to 12 shots per game, and half of them, at minimum, are always from three. So that's part of his role on that team. Clearly now, that's part of the game for Stephen Curry, but when he was a rookie, really wasn't so much. And now, for Brandon Miller, a three-level scorer, a great all-around player, I'd say about 40% of his shots, if that, are typically from three. So, very different game. Not to knock Keegan Murray, but just kind of put it into some context. As we're looking at Brandon Miller and what he's able to accomplish eventually, obviously Brandon Miller's got a long ways to go in terms of reaching his full potential of his game, but he's off to an outstanding start because if you're thinking, extrapolating down the line, what might he post for career threes when he's 10, 15, hopefully 20 years into his career? Well, at least after year one, Assuming he makes one more, he'll be ahead of the greatest shooter of all time.
It's crazy to think, isn't it? And again, give credit where credit's due, obviously. Steph Curry changed the game. He changed the mentality and the thought process behind the three-point shot as we know it today. So I don't know if Steph's number is a little misleading because, I mean, there's obviously seasons out there where Steph had records for 3 points made in a season. And I'm sure Brandon Miller won't come close to some of those, but the consistency factor, you never know. So it would be a lot cooler.
I'm going to tell him you said that. He might.
You know what? I am all for giving Brandon Miller more bulletin board material. That is exactly what I would be willing to do. So it's amazing that Brandon has continued on this trajectory, and he's just been so consistent doing it. And he's not, it's not like he's shot hunting or anything like that either. I mean, he's playing his game. He's not forcing bad habits or anything. I don't think he's doing anything out of the question that he can't do a season from now where hopefully, and knock on wood and speaking it into existence, this team is healthier, where LaMelo Ball is back out there on the floor, Mark Williams is out there on the floor as well, and all of those pieces are back, where it doesn't feel like he's going to do that. It feels like the numbers are going to be the same no matter what. You go back to last night's game, 7-15 from the field, 3-for-6 shooting from beyond the arc. Those are consistent numbers, and those are not shot hunting numbers. Those are numbers that I'm going to take what the defense gives me. If the game comes to me, then so be it. So if he's just able to continue on that consistent basis, it's just going to be crazy what he can accomplish 5, 10, 15 years down the road from now.
Just for some context here, as 7 games now remaining in the campaign for the Charlotte Hornets, I don't believe Brandon Miller is going to have enough runway to catch Keegan Murray. Again, more bulletin board material for him, all he needs. But as of this taping, he's roughly 40 threes away. So he would have to average at minimum 6 threes per game. It's not crazy, but it's not likely either. So that's what he would need to finish first all time. To get into the number two position, he's only 20 threes away from that. So that is a little bit more within his reach, assuming that he plays all of the remaining games. A couple other things for context here. Steph Curry, obviously, as he and the Splash Brothers started to change the game, it changed what a normal number of threes taken in a season were. Through 2 seasons, Steph Curry was 317 for 722. This season, he's 329. For 816. So he's taken and made more threes already this season than he did in his first 2 seasons combined. That's a sign of the game changing and just how great a shooter clearly that Steph Curry is. But one more piece of context here, comparing Brandon Miller to Keegan Murray, who is the rookie all-time leader. Again, Keegan in his rookie season, last season for Sacramento, a little bit of a specialist, nothing wrong with that. 206 made threes on 501 attempts, more than half of his attempts from the floor ended up being from three. So it was a huge, huge part of his game. He, on average that season, took 10 shots a game and 6 would be from distance. Brandon Miller, a very different ratio. Here in year 2 for Keegan Murray, he has made 157 threes in 435 attempts. Brandon Miller, 167 threes in 448 attempts. So Miller, the more efficient and the more prolific three-point shooter here in his first season compared to Keegan Murray in his second, even with a different role and more responsibilities on Brandon Miller as a three-level scorer and more of a primary ball handler. Keegan Murray, a very, very good player on a good Sacramento team, but they have De'Aaron Fox and they've got Sabonis and they've got other guys that they're looking to for more all-around scoring, giving Murray more catch-and-shoot opportunities. So just a little bit of context for the situation. We'll see where Brandon Miller and Keegan Murray and everyone ends up, but clearly a great start to his career from beyond the arc, and we'll see what Brandon can do tomorrow trying to chase down more legends. He is only one made three away from matching Luka Doncic for the 6th best three-point shooting season as a rookie in NBA history, and now is 4 behind Anthony Edwards for 5th all-time at 171. So some more opportunity ahead for Brandon Miller and more to accomplish starting tomorrow against the Portland Trailblazers, a game for which tickets are available at Hornets.com. We'd love to see you at the Hive. Again, tickets, Hornets.com. And Rob Longo, we'd love to have the company for a potential number 2 pick versus number 3 pick matchup, Brandon Miller versus Scoot Henderson.
I'm sure we'll get it. You never know, but I'm sure we'll get it.
We'll have a game preview for you tomorrow here on the HHC. One more time, we want to congratulate all of the participants in the 4th Annual Innovation Summit presented by Bank of America, and in particular, our grand champion, Specialty Bridal Boutique, Mahogany Brown Bridal, and the local entrepreneur, Whitney Stevenson, who runs it. Also, congrats to Camille Hughes, a second-place finisher who got $10,000 for her creative space, The Frame. It's a great initiative. Definitely encourage you to check out all of the coverage around it from Hornets.com. Till next time, for Rob Longo, I'm Sam Farber, saying it's been a pleasure and a privilege having you along. We will talk to you tomorrow right here on the Hornets Hivecast.
Thank you for listening to the Hornets Hivecast, brought to you by Senta, the official eye, ear, nose, and throat care provider of the Charlotte Hornets. For more coverage, visit Hornets.com.